are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
Holy Word, let His praises be heard. Lord, just be pleased with our praise. We must change the way we walk. We must change the way we talk. We must
yet challenging thought. What if God is not pleased with our praise? What if God is not pleased with the way we live? That's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. And we're going to move into a new series today that God wants to bring to us as we begin a new book study in a real sense. And I'm excited about how God might unfold it. I'm anticipating what He's going to say. And so I want to invite you now to prepare your hearts for the morning message as we pray together, thanking Him for all of the blessings He's given, thanking all of you for being so kind and gracious to receive us into your homes and into your hearts. Father, we thank you today again for the many blessings and especially the awesome privilege that we have to be in your family. And we want you to be pleased with our life. We know that without you we can do nothing, but with you we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We thank you for our journey this past week, for watching over us as we've traveled across the miles. We thank you for our rest last night and rising early this morning with our hearts and minds to want to be here. We pray that you would cover so many, Lord, who have a desire to be here but unable to come through whatever the various circumstances that may hinder them. And God, now open our hearts and our minds that we may be in tune with you. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Lift again your human out of himself. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and speak through us in this moment of sharing. And bless the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For we ask it all now in the name of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen again. We finished with what we were doing in the book of James. And I want to go into a book that I haven't been in much, but I find it very fascinating. That is the book of Galatians. Galatians is a New Testament book. It can be found after 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, come the book of Galatians. I want you to get familiar with where it is, because over the next little while, we're going to take a journey through it. And this morning, I want to do just kind of a little bit of an introduction to kind of give us a little idea about what the book entails so that you may be able to follow what we're talking about. So for our time this morning, I want to read the first five verses. I may add the sixth verse because I will touch on it. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, whom raised him from the dead. And all of the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am going to add the sixth verse. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. I really want to talk about an inside job. An inside job. But what I want to add to that, because inside job is going to be the subject of the series. But this morning I want to talk about the inside job being true freedom. True freedom. And I want you to know that true freedom is an inside job. Recently, John Bolton produced a book. And in that book, he talks about, the title of the book is The Room Where It All Happened. He was one of President Donald Trump's top advisors. And what he has begun to expose to the nations, inside information about conversations and activities that have taken place in the highest levels of government of the United States of America. Now, Bolton's position has been refuted, and there are those who are denying, and there are those who are in arms about his position. But my point this morning is not whether or not it is refutable. The truth is, what he's proclaiming comes from the inside. There are conversations that are recorded. There are incidents that are cited that others outside just could not know about. I want you to understand that some of the greatest damage that can be done to any organization doesn't come from the outside, but it comes from the inside. The subject matter comes, and I want to give credit to my barber. I'll call his name, Marvin Humphrey. God bless you. Shouting out to you. Marvin is barber at Legends Barbershop in Hoover. And we were in the shop last week, and we were just talking, and man, this thing came up about an inside job. And I said, stop cutting my hair. I took out my cell phone. I wrote it in my phone right then because it struck me. And what I want you to understand is not only damage comes from outside, but if there is to be deliverance and true freedom, it's going to have to come from inside. It has to be an inside job. And that is the theme of the book of Galatians. Not an inside job, but true freedom. And true freedom is so important. Because in this book, the book of Galatians, is the very book that has liberated others. One man that comes to my mind over 500 years ago was the man Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther was a monk. He was a Catholic monk. And through his study of the book of Galatians, he came to discover the true freedom that he needed, and he was set free from 1,000 years domination of the Roman Catholic Church and presented 95 theses that was nailed on the doors of the church in Germany, which started the Protestant Reformation. We are a Protestant church. We are a Baptist church. And we never would have come into existence had it not been for the inside information that God revealed to Martin. And I want to help you understand this morning. This whole subject of freedom is a timely talk. Yesterday, the United States of America celebrated Independence Day, which celebrated what? Freedom from liberation from the domination of Britain, and declared its separation from and now its own independence, its freedom, if you will, from the power of another nation. Now, what I want you to hear this morning is that that's the message that this book came to proclaim, that you and I have been set free. And that freedom has come to us by God. And that's so, what a message that is. What a timely word that is. Freedom is a wonderful subject to talk about. Everybody is talking about freedom. You got people in the streets talking about Black Lives Matter. You got other people saying white lives matter. You got people saying all lives matter. And all lives do matter. But people are going about what they think gives freedom in different ways. Some people say the way to be free is to do whatever you want to do. You know my song. My song was, boy, written by the Isleys when I was a college student. Set me free. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. What it say? I can't tell you who to slack it to. that was freedom. That was freedom. And that's what many people think freedom is to be able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, like they want to do it, without having anyone else to encroach upon their perceived freedom. There are people who believe that freedom is to be able to hear only what you want to hear, from only who you want to hear it from, and only when you want to hear it. And when somebody else bring their stuff to you, you feel that your freedom is to refute the ability to listen to it. And there are people who feel, and are uglily so, that freedom is taking America back again. Back again to what? And is that what true freedom is? There are some people who believe that freedom comes from being free to do what you want. But I came to tell you this morning, people who believe that, they're not free. I don't care what you think, you are not free when you do what you want to do, live like you want to live, listen to only what you want to listen, tune out what you don't want to hear, eliminate any absolutes in the world. Whenever there are no absolutes in the world, then we think that we're free. When we take off all constraints, when we remove all forms of judgment, then we say we're free. But I came to tell you, you're not free. That's a deception. That's a lie. Can I go a little further? There's no freedom to an unregenerated soul. Why, Pastor? Because that soul is bound by sin. And the only freedom, when people cast off restraint, the only freedom that they really have is the freedom to choose what sin they want to engage in. But you're not free. Because you still then, if you are a person who have not been changed by the Spirit of God, then I want you to know you are still bound. You are bound by fear. You're bound by death. You're bound by judgment. And you're bound by the possibility of an eternity in hell separated from God. Now, I know this kind of preaching is not possible, popular. And today, this is what people don't want to hear. But this is what we need to hear, because we have so much foolishness going on. And it's time somebody speak the truth. Now, where can freedom be found? That's the question. Jesus said it in John chapter 8, verse 32. He said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall" what? "Set you free. And whom the Son sets free is" what? "Free indeed." So the only liberation, the only freedom, true freedom that is available comes from Jesus Christ. And when you come to him, you're not just coming to anybody. You're coming to the liberator. You're coming to somebody who can make you free. Make you free. Because when you come to him, you're free from sin. When you come to him, you're free from fear. When you come to him, you're free from death. When you come to him, you're free from judgment. When you come to him, you're free from being separated from him forever and ever. You are free because he has paid the penalty of your sin. And he sets you free from the power of sin. And in the future, when you leave this earth, he sets you free from the very presence of sin. And nobody else can do that but him. But you know, there are so many people who think they know where to get freedom from. There are people who get freedom from religion. And there are a lot of people who get freedom from religion. Now, let me just talk a little bit about religion, because all religions do the same thing. But all religions don't provide freedom. They all claim that they have a pathway to freedom, but they don't all have freedom. All religions offer some soothing touch from whatever it is that may be bothering you. There are the mystical religions of the East, and there are the mystical religions of the West. You can go into Hinduism, you can go into Buddhism, you can go into anything that proclaims enlightenment and reading and all of those things that you want to do, but you're still not free. You're just practicing. What religion does, religion soothes the external, but it never changes the internal. And so therefore, you're not free. Some people think that they can be free if they engage in religion, because what the religion would teach them is you have to keep rules and regulations. And if I keep all of the rules and regulations, if I pray hard enough, if I fast long enough, and if I'm not free from my sin, if I inflict pain in my body, if I do all of these things enough, then maybe I can be free. But I want you to know, you're still not going to be free, not from that. There are some people who rely on, they think freedom comes from relying on self. As long as I become a law unto me, then nobody else's opinion matters. If I say what I want and I do what I want to do when I want, then I'm free. No, you're not. There are some people who think being a good moral person makes them free. Well, you can be morally, externally for a while, but the truth is, inwardly, you still are a sinner. And there are some people who think that they can be free because they are good. But let me just tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you're good or whether you're bad, whether you, whatever color you are or wherever you come from, that alone does not make you free. There is no freedom outside of the deliverance of Jesus Christ. That's going to be the message that Paul is going to convey in this book of Galatians. And I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. Scripture says, now the Bible, Scripture, the Word of God says that we are all enslaved to sin. That means we are bound. We are incarcerated. This physical body is just a shell. The real you lives inside of this body. And you can't get outside and you can't get away from you to save your life. How many know you've tried? Man, I wish I could say it like I could see it. Some of you know, you almost have to put your head down to keep from saying something ugly to somebody sometime. Sometimes you just want to cuss them out. I know y'all too holy for that, but I'm just saying it like it is. Sometimes you just want to do something. And sometimes something ugly rises up inside of you and you look around and you say, now where did that come from? But it's there because the basic person is enslaved to sin. And you can't get free from it. There is no freedom for you outside of Jesus. Your problem is not outside of you. How many know it's not? Your problem is inside of you. Even if you don't say it, you think it. Even if you don't act on it, you imagine it. Even if you don't physically engage in it, it comes up. Even in church. Oh man, oh, y'all want to pretend this morning. You are a sinner, and you're a slave to sin, and you're bound to sin. And whatever path of life you take, whether you be religious or irreligious, whether you be a moral person or an immoral person, whether you be good or bad or anything in between, you, at the end of the day, are still a sinner. So the question is, where does freedom come from? Well, let me walk you through a couple of Paul's passages, and then we'll look at the introduction that he gives us in this text. First, look at chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to see a little bit because this summarizes the whole book of Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 1 says this. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's the whole summation of it. What Paul is saying is that freedom comes from Christ, and there it cannot be found no other place. There is no freedom in legalism. There is no freedom in anything in between. Freedom is only in Jesus. You're not free just because you're black. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. That doesn't make you free. We shall overcome someday. But the only thing that makes you free someday is the day you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Okay? We're free. When we come to him from the power, we're free from all of the attributes of it. When a person comes to Christ, he or she is coming to the only one. You're coming to the judge. You're coming to the one who has the right to stamp on the desk and say, go ahead, go. You're free. I've paid it. You know, stamp paid in full. You don't owe anything. You're free. Now, when he sets you free, you're free. Man, I remember the day. I remember the day I drove up to the church, you know, the old church, and I was sitting in my car, and I burst out and started laughing because I realized I had been wearing the burden of the church, and I realized that day. I said, "This is not my church. This is your church." And you have to be the one who supply for it. You have to be the one who supply me. And my prayer each week as I prepare for a message like this is, Father, teach me that I may teach them. There is no word inherent apart from God. And the thing that we need more than anything else, with all of the confusion in today's world about freedom, is where does it come from? And Paul in this book is going to help us over the next few weeks to see that it's an inside job. That's what I want to help you understand. Now, let me just say this to you. As wonderfully written as this book is, just six chapters, and as meticulous as Paul writes it, and as clear as his arguments are, this book was not written to be a theological treatise. The truth is, it was written because Paul is raging mad. He's angry. And this book is written to defend his apostleship, because there was another inside job that was going on in the church. In Galatia. Galatia was not a town. Galatia was not a local city like Colossae and like Ephesus and like Philippi. Like some of the other places, Galatia was a region. And on Paul's first missionary journey, he went to the region of Galatia. And there were several towns in the area of Galatia. There was Antioch, which was a known large city, metropolitan area. There was Iconium. There was Lystra. There was Derbe. All of those were towns in the region of Galatia. And when Paul goes into Galatia on his first missionary journey, he plants churches in those places. And he goes back again on his second missionary journey. And he goes back again on his third missionary journey. So he has become very familiar with the people of Galatia. He has sown the gospel message. He has preached that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has preached that in Christ you find true freedom. But guess what has happened? Paul left. He left after his first missionary journey. He left after his second missionary journey. He left after his third missionary journey. And somebody came in. It was a group of people who probably had come from the Jerusalem church. And you got to know that the Jerusalem church was the beginning church. And they were claiming to be Christians. And they came to the Galatians and they were telling the Galatians, listen, you're not really Christian. You can believe in Jesus, but you've got to do something else. What is that something else that they were saying to the Galatians? That you also have to become circumcised. Now, maybe you don't understand. But to walk into a church full of grown men and to tell those men you can't be a Christian regardless of what you believe about Jesus unless you give up the flesh. I could see a whole lot of men raising that church finger. Tiptoeing out, because there's not today. I just won't make it if that's going to be the case. But that was the era. Are you following this? I want you to see this is the era. And when Paul gets word of this, see, I need you to see this is an inside job. These are people who are masquerading as Christian people who are now coming into the Christian church, and they are teaching a false doctrine. They are teaching a works salvation. They are teaching a Jesus plus salvation. That yes, you need Jesus, but you need Jesus plus. You need Jesus plus circumcision. You need Jesus plus feast days. You need Jesus plus ceremonies. You need Jesus plus all of the other external kinds of things that are found in religion. Let me tell you something. You can keep any day you want to, and that won't make you a Christian. Unless there has been a change in your heart, then all religion does is keep you feeling a certain way, but no real deliverance has taken place. And these Judaizers, man, that I say come from the Jerusalem church, because it was later they had to have a Jerusalem council. Some of you who study the Bible know that in the book of Acts chapter 15, that in Acts chapter 15, they had to call a council of all of the people in Jerusalem, because that was still some of those Judaizers there who were trying to impose circumcision and feast days and new moon. And the Jerusalem council came together and they said, none of that. They put that stuff to a close. But what these people did, because they couldn't get their way with the Jerusalem council, they began to follow the steps of the Apostle Paul and began to dog his footsteps and go wherever he had gone and try to undo the Christian work that he had laid down. Now, I'm sorry. Let me make some application here, because you're looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what's happening in this nation. You have people from the inside who are coming along and who are trying to undo and who are trying to take people back. Listen, to take these people back to what God had already delivered them from would be a setback. Jesus is the latest and the last revelation from Almighty God. And when he set you free, you're free. So why in the world would you want to go back to an era which only presented and represented types and other kinds of things? The feast days, the circumcision, all of those kinds of things were types that were ultimately fulfilled in Christ. And now to want to take people backward into that, you're taking people back into bondage. Now here I come. Now, why in the world would we want to take America back to where people look at one another and begin to hate people all over again? Why would we want to cause people to be at odds and at war and tear this country up with civil war when the Lord has set us free? We said this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. But we're trying to renege on our promise, on what God has already done. God brought us from where we were. Oh, we can't reverse history. African Americans came to this country in the hulls of slave ships. And that can't be changed. That can't be reversed. For a large number of years, it was dark and ugly in this country. But lift every voice and sing. The heaven and earth ring. Let us rejoice, huh? Because God stepped in and God has reversed things. So why would we want to go back? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you that I'll get to it. I might not get as far as I want today, but that's why we're starting this study. That when false teachers come, what they want to do, they want to do a couple things. First, they want to pretend that they are the guides, that they have the information, that you're not really on the inside. And we are the ones, the only ones, who have the truth that will get you on the inside, so that you have to come to us to get the knowledge that you need to get on the inside. And that's true. That's not just true for the Galatian region. That's true of false teachers wherever they may be. They want people to think that they are the macaroni, that they are the last slice of bread, that you have to come through them in order to get the knowledge that you need. No, I can read myself. When the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, I was able to enter into the presence of God for myself. I don't have to go through nobody to get to God. I can go to him anytime for myself. Are you with me? Not only do false teachers want to give people the information or the impression that you have to come through them, but false teachers, ultimately, they want the bragging right that they have accumulated new disciples or new believers. And what they're doing is they're rejoicing in the flesh. See, there are people who love to say, you are one of them. Uh-oh. Don't get in trouble, Pastor. But that you are a trumper. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying how we tend to want to identify and alienate others who are not a part of that particular segment. Are you listen, it's true in churches. There are some churches that try to make it seem like if you don't go to this church, then you're not in the kingdom. That nobody else have the truth but us. Holy Ghost headquarters over here. Everywhere else you go. Exclusivism. And then we want to brag about the number of converts that we have made to this cultic system. And that's what was going on in the region of Galatia. That they wanted the people of Galatia to identify with them as if they were the ones who had the gospel. I want you to hear Paul. I want you to hear Paul because you got to understand, Paul was angry. Paul was angry. Paul says, and I'll get to his defense in just a minute. But Paul said in chapter 3, who bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Who tricked you? Who has come among you and bamboozled you? Go back to chapter 1. In there, all that, after that introductory remark where I read in verse 6, he said, I'm amazed at you and how soon you have walked away from what you have already been taught. And Paul got so angry, he said, I don't care who said it. He said, I don't care if it's one from among us or me, or even if it's one, an angel, or anyone else from heaven. If anyone preached to you any other gospel about how you get free other than what you've already heard, let him be accursed. Now, that word accursed in the Greek is the word anathema, which he says, let them be damned. This man, this writing here comes out of a heart of a man who defends his apostleship. Now, you got to understand this, and I'll be done for the morning as by way of introduction. But look at where it goes in the first, when he starts off. He said, Paul, an apostle. That's all he got out. Two Greek words, Paul. Now, Paul is a common Greek name, Paulus, in Greek. But when we first meet this man in Scripture, his name is not Paul. When we meet him first in the book of Acts, chapter 8, they were stoning a deacon whose name was Stephen. And there was a young man who was standing there giving consent, holding the cloaks of those who were stoning this deacon. And his name was Saul. So when he first comes to the forefront in Scripture, his name is Saul. Saul was a young Pharisee who was enthusiastic about his religion. And then we read in chapter 9 of the book of Acts that this same zealous young Saul goes to the high priest and asks for letters that he might go to Damascus and bind up any that call on the name of the way. The Christians were called the way at that time because Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. And so they were called the way. And so Saul was on his way to Damascus. He was a self-imposed murderer. He was a zealous person who was after flesh. And something happened. The Scripture said it was about noon that a great light came and blinded him. Now, I don't know whether he fell from his beast or not, but he ended up on the ground. I don't know how he got down there, but he was down there. And a voice was heard. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecuted." And Saul, you got to know that this man felt that Jesus was alive. But in that moment, in the dust of the ground, Jesus revealed himself to this man. And this man, he told him, he said, "Now get up and be led on into the city of Damascus." And while he was in the city of Damascus, God gave him another vision that there would become a man named Ananias to come see you. And God set up the meeting by giving Ananias a vision, by letting him know there is one by the name of Saul who prays. And I want you to go on Straight Street and lay your hands on his eyes, because I want to show him what things he must suffer. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Paul, an apostle. Apostle means sent. Means sent one. Now, there were 11 original ones, 12 with Judas, but Judas committed suicide. And the disciples, when that upper room experience, they chose Matthias to replace Judas. So that was 12. But Paul was one who also saw the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. And he declared himself the least of the apostles, but yet an apostle. Now, we know Paul. So if someone says to us, "Paul," we already understand that this is the man who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, 13 or 14 New Testament books. We don't need much more explanation. But for these folk in Galatia, the Judaizers had been trying to discredit him. You know people do that, don't you? When they want to lift themselves up, they try to pull you down. They try to tell people, "You're not real. You fake. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where you get this from." But Paul has to lift up before them an understanding of who he is. Paul, an apostle. Listen to what he said. "Not of men, not sent by men, not sent representing any organization of men, but sent by God who raised Christ from the dead." Paul said, "My apostleship came directly from God." Now, let me tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying that Paul had to defend himself, because if Paul could be discredited, then the Galatians and everybody else would have no gospel truth to believe in, and consequently, they would not know of what true freedom they really had. See, it wasn't like the news media was out preaching the gospel. It wasn't like that there were a whole lot of folk who had gotten the direct word from God. Paul said when he got up from the dust in Damascus, he went and he hung around there for a few days. But then God led him into the wilderness of Arabia, where God revealed to him the gospel that he now preaches. So he said, "I didn't get this gospel from the seminary. I didn't get this gospel from hanging around with Buddy Buddy and Boy Who. But I got this word directly from God." May I help you to understand this morning? See, I'm not bound by anybody, because the truth that I preach, I didn't buy it. The truth that I proclaim today, I didn't get it from an association. I didn't get what I came to tell you about what America's problem is from a political organization or from anybody. I'm not endorsing no candidate. What I'm telling you is, if you want to be free, you're going to be free because Jesus sets you free. If you want to live on the earth and you don't have to have prejudice in your heart, and you don't have to look down your neck at somebody else, you let the Lord take that stuff away from you. And when he takes it away, you're free. Paul not only goes on to defend his apostleship, but Paul is really trying to protect the people. The people that he loved. He loved those people in Galatia. It was from those areas that Paul had taken young Timothy to be one of his disciples. It was that the people that he just kept going back to over and over and over again to pour into them some other kind of thing. And so he's shocked. He's blown away. He's going, what? You mean to tell me so quickly? As soon as I turn my back and somebody else come in and you're going to be removed, you're going to be persuaded, you're going to be changed, you're going to go back into being circumcised and doing all of these other kinds of things? Man, to show you how mad Paul was about this, I really don't want to say it, but I need to see it. Because he says it in chapter 6, and we'll get around to it later. What Paul said about those folk who were calling for circumcision, Paul said, let them be castrated. That's what he says. Now, I want you to understand, this man was not playing. He was bawling because he saw the damage that the inside job from the Judaizers were doing to his family members and to his loved ones. And what he wanted them to understand, that the real inside job is the one that comes from Jesus, where he wipes away your sin debt and he gives you a free title and a free passage and the assurance of an eternal future with him in heaven's glory. And my brothers and my sisters and everyone who's in hearing distance, I want you to understand, I don't care what the world say will give you freedom. The only true freedom is going to come from the inside. It's an inside job. Look at what happened. Paul got up from the dust in Damascus. Ananias came and laid his hands on him. And this man's life was transformed. He was a grown man who had spent the vast majority of his life persecuting and hating these folk. And in 3 days, a dynamic miracle has taken place as this man's life was changed, and him who was the persecutor became the preacher. And you know what his message is? His message is, God, you thought I was worth it. Me, this nobody, this hater, this one who was going the complete wrong direction, you thought I was worth saving. You thought I was worth dying for. So you gave your life, you sacrificed your life so that I could be free, so that I could be whole, so that I could tell everybody that I know how to be free. And I came to tell America, you're not free because you're away from Britain. You're not free just because your skin color is one way or another. You're not free because you have a little more money than somebody else. You're not free because you live in another community that others don't live in. You're only free when Jesus reigns supreme. When he's seated on the throne, you're free to live. You're free to die. You're free to go to glory. You're free. You're free. You're free. And God thought enough of you to sacrifice his life for that freedom. And that, my brothers, is the only true freedom that there really is. Anybody here free? Anybody free? So I can love you no matter what you do to me. I can love you no matter what you say about me. I can love you because I'm not bound by those externals, free in my heart. So I want to give an invitation now. We're going to open the doors of the church. Might be somebody in the sanctuary today who want to come. You can come. You can give my brother your heart, my hand. Give God your heart. Doors open. Somebody might be at home. You might be praying, God, help me to be free. I've been going through emotion, but I'm not really free. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to become the man, the woman, the body girl you want me to be. Tell him, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Came into the earth, died on the cross, was raised the third day. And because I believe in him, I know I want a new life. My brother, my sister, wherever you might be. Hospital room, jail cell, personal home, you can be free today. No matter what the externals are, you can be free in your heart. Doors open. We're going to sing now. Thought I was worth it. Shift to the red.
So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. So you came,
you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
You thought I was the devil. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. So you sacrificed your life so I could be
I don't know no other way to say it. I don't know what else we need. I don't know. God has made it possible that we could have a right, that we could have a right standing. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter whether you were a natural citizen or naturalized. But if you become a Christian, if you become a child of God, you are free. And no one can take that from you. You're free to live. And you are definitely bound for heaven's glory because of what Jesus has done. And that's the truth that the church must proclaim. And that's the truth that this nation needs to hear all over again, more and more every single day, of the truth of who we are. And then we can become one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. When we are free, then those truths will be made available. And we want to see you next time. God bless you. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Lean in on the everlasting arm. Please make sure you go out the appropriate exit doors. Our ushers will direct you. If you go out, God bless you. See you next time.
Enjoyed the broadcast? You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org for an uplifting message. Please join us for the next broadcast.